In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at Lesson 29, My Catholic Faith, Our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, the image, as I mentioned before, class, it's a very complicated one, I guess, at least more complicated to describe, but I'll do my best. At the top center, we have an image of the Trinity with God in the center, and the equilateral triangle around. And each point on the triangle has the top, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost at each corner, and the lines connecting say that the Son is not the Father is not the Holy Ghost is not the Son, the Father is God, we have God in the center of the triangle, the word God, the Son is God, and the Holy Ghost is God. Okay. Radiating off of the Son, we say the words, was made incarnate, and then it continues across to the other side to the Holy Ghost. So the Son was made incarnate by the action and virtue of the Holy Ghost. Okay, and in the center we see in the most pure womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, obviously the Son took a human soul, a human body, his name Jesus Christ, and his true God and true man. Okay, and that branches off to one side. It says that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is one divine person, and on the other branch it says Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has two natures, divine nature and human nature. Okay, so in the upper left-hand corner of the image we see the nativity, a representation of the nativity, and on the upper right-hand corner we see a representation of the crucifixion on Mount Calvary. Okay, so the Son, he was true God and remained true God. He suffered and died as man because as God, he could neither suffer nor die. Okay. That's my attempt at describing the image there in front of us. The caption says, Our Lord Jesus Christ is true God and true man. As God, he is equal with the Father and the Holy Ghost. He is infinite, almighty, eternal. As man, he has a body and soul like ours. Jesus Christ has two natures, which cannot be separated, but which are distinct, the human and the divine. But he is only one person, the divine person. Jesus Christ is not a human person. Okay, so the first question for this lesson, is Jesus Christ more than one person? And the answer is no. Jesus Christ is only one person, and that person is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. Throughout the Gospels, we can read about Jesus Christ as only one person, eating, sleeping, talking, and dying as only one person. A person is a being that is intelligent and free and responsible for his actions. We attribute to him whatever good or evil he does in the use of his human powers, because he owns or controls those powers. I am a human person, and everything I do is done by a human person. But Christ is a divine person since he is God. Whatever Jesus Christ did while he was on earth was of infinite dignity since it was the work of a divine person. Jesus Christ is our Lord, the Son of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, true God and true man. We call him our Lord because as God he is Lord and Master of all, and as our Savior, he redeemed us with his blood. Christ is our Creator, Redeemer, lawgiver, teacher, and judge. All these we mean when we say, our Lord. St. Paul says, He is the blessed and only mighty, the King of kings and Lord of lords, to whom be honor and empire everlasting. Amen. From 1 Timothy 6:15 and 16. There is only one person. The divine person is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not a human person. Everything in him, even as man, is divine and worthy of adoration. When we adore the Sacred Heart or the precious blood, we do not adore mere flesh, but the flesh united to the divinity. In Christ, the human and the divine are inseparable. How many natures has Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ has two natures, the nature of God and the nature of man. A nature is a substance that is complete in itself as a source of activity. It differs from person in that while person determines what an individual is, nature determines what an individual can do. In Jesus Christ, our Lord, there are two natures, His divine and His human nature. Therefore, He could and did act as God. He could and did act as man, while all the time He was God the Son. Because of His divine nature, Christ is truly God. Because of His human nature, He is truly man. In His divine nature, He is the second person of the Blessed Trinity, God the Son, the Eternal Word. He took His human nature from his mother. It was to the Blessed Virgin that the Archangel Gabriel announced, And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Most High. From St. Luke 1:32. Therefore, Jesus Christ is both God and man. He has both divine and human powers. He has knowledge, can will and act as God and as man. For example, with his human nature, Jesus worked, ate, spoke, felt pain. But it was his divine nature that enabled him to become transfigured, walk on the waters, and raise the dead. These two natures were united in a divine person, Jesus Christ, the God-man. They were intimately united, but they remained distinct. Neither was absorbed by the other. When iron and gold are welded into one solid mass, they continue to retain all their individual properties, distinct from each other. The union of the divine and human natures in Christ is called the hypostatic union. Christ is true God and true man. This is why we call him God-man. Beings obtain their nature from their origin. For this reason, a child has a human nature from its human parents. Jesus Christ, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, has his origin from God the Father, and hence he has a divine nature. Moreover, as man, he was born of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and thus his human nature. This is why Christ often referred to himself indiscriminately as Son of God or Son of Man. Right, as a consequence to this, I think we need to understand that these two natures are distinct and they are not molded into one. Christ has two separate natures, even though he is only one person, he has two separate natures. And they are united there. It is not that God left his divinity behind and became a man, nor as we see in some popular writings, that Jesus was a good man, a holy man who became God. Human nature did not develop into a divine nature. The divine nature did not die and become a human nature. We see the two natures side by side. I come across quite a bit of different advertising, but I did see, I don't know whether it was a book or a lecture series or something, but the title of it was Jesus, the Man Who Became God. And immediately I'm turned off. You lost me. I'm not going to buy that course, that book, because it's already filled with heresy. But I think that's probably a very common misconception. Right. Number four, as a consequence of these two natures, Christ has also two wills. We can see this very clearly in his prayer in the Garden of Olives before his passion. He said, quote, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done," end quote. He was referring to his human will, for his divine will was surely the same as his Father's. What does the name Jesus mean? The name Jesus means Savior or Redeemer. Our Lord is called Jesus because he came to save men from sin and to open the doors of heaven to them. Before the birth of our Lord, an angel appeared to Saint Joseph and said, quote, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus," from Saint Matthew 1:21. At the Annunciation, the angel Gabriel had spoken the same words to Mary, quote, "After 8 days were accomplished that the child should be circumcised, his name was called Jesus," St. Luke chapter 2:21. We should say the name of our Lord with great reverence. We should bow our head every time we utter it. And then it, quote, "In the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those that are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth." The symbol IHS is composed of the first three letters of the name Jesus in Greek. What does the name Christ mean? The name Christ means the Anointed One. Christ is a Greek word with the same meaning as Messiah. In the Old Law, it was the custom to anoint with oil prophets, high priests, and kings. Our Lord, who is the greatest of the prophets, he is the high priest who offers himself for all mankind. He is the King of angels and men. Therefore, it is fitting that we should call him Christ. He truly is the Anointed One. We are called Christians because we are disciples of Christ. We believe in his teachings and obey his commandments. The followers of Christ were first called Christians at Antioch. Those who deny the doctrines of Christ, especially his divinity, are not Christians. Unfortunately, many today are Christians only in name. Jesus Christ was announced to the world through many types. By types, we mean persons or actions which strongly suggest or foreshadowed Christ. Types are to the reality what a photograph is to the actual person, but for lack of the reality, types are a good substitute to give an idea of the substance foreshadowed. Some of the types of Jesus Christ were the gentle and just Abel, who was murdered by his brother, Noah, who alone persevered and saved the human race from extinction by his justice, Isaac, who willingly carried the wood on which he was to have been sacrificed, Joseph, who was sold for a few pieces of silver, but later saved his brethren from death, Moses, who freed the Jews from slavery and led them to the promised land, David, who was born poor and did great deeds for his people, and became king. That ends Father Haydock's lesson there. Do we have any questions or comments?
Your Excellency, what were there? I know that there were many heresies about our Lord. I guess a particular heresy that he was not always that he was man and became God, or am I confusing that?
They went both ways. In the early days of the church, most of the decisions and dogmas were written concerning the person of Jesus Christ. There were groups who claimed that Jesus was just a man who became God, and then there were those who said that he was God and he was not really man, and that he just appeared as man, as we see the angels would appear as a man, walk with them. We have, the angel Tobias, I think, or the angel Raphael, who accompanied Tobias, the young Tobias. He appeared as a man and walked with him, spoke with him, acted just like a man. And so there was a heresy that suggested that Jesus did not really become a man, that he was not truly man. And of course the church argues against that. If Christ was not truly man, then his suffering could not be applied to mankind, to humanity. The sacrifice had to be a sacrifice of a human being. And so for the sacrifice to be efficacious for the rest, for all of mankind, it was necessary that Christ be God. And so we have, in the early days of the church, this was the common splitting point, I guess, between the true faith and the heretics on the person of Jesus Christ. Okay.
I mean, was that the Arian heresy or?
I don't want to say which one was the Arian heresy, but the Arian heresy did revolve around Christ, his person, his divinity.
Okay,
so we have a note here. When we see Jesus in heaven, will we always see him as human? Because it says the two natures are inseparable. And the answer to that is yes. He is in heaven with his human body. His human nature is there. It is, his human nature is alive. So now Christ, wherever we see him, the Son of God, we will see him with two natures. He's one person, a divine person, but he still has that human nature. So we need to really tread carefully when we talk about the dogmas of Christ. When I was studying theology, it seems very hair-splitting, or even in the catechism. We have to be very careful about our choice of words, because we tend to be very careless, I think, confusing what is a person with what are natures. And it's not uncommon to hear children in their catechism lessons say that Jesus has two persons. He's a divine person and a human person, and that is heresy. He is one person, he's a divine person, but he has two natures, a divine nature and a human nature. So words are very important, even though I think we tend to be very careless with them, because it will lead us down a very terrible path here. I know Sister Catherine, I think, either talked about or she actually did put together a little children's video online about the hypostatic union. Not sure whether that was it or was something else, but these terms that we introduce in catechism, the children almost already know, they just don't know the official word or the Greek word that we use in theology. But the hypostatic union simply means the two natures of Christ, the human nature and his divine nature, melded into one person. I shouldn't say melded into one person either, because that suggests that they are commingled, whereas they do remain separate and unique. It is not half man and half God, but he is all God and all man, complete man and completely God. So we get into a lot of trouble because it looks like we should say that half of Christ is human nature and half of Christ is divine nature, and that is heresy, because he is true God, complete God, and he is a true man, a complete man. And so we make very certain of how we write the description in catechism for children, and I've commented, I think, several times that I don't think even the adults appreciate the work that goes into finding the exact words for these catechisms, these questions and answers, and how theologians have hammered out an exact definition that is very precise. And, you know, we memorize it, the children memorize it, and we move on to the next thing. And we don't really stop to realize that a lot of intelligent men have spent a lot of time, a lot of effort in writing and delving into this, arguing, hammering out these specific details. And so we tend to get, careless or indifferent to the use of these words and what these words actually mean. I don't know, but after reading some of the philosophers like St. Augustine, who goes into great detail defining every word, says, when I use this word, this is exactly what I mean. And he gives example after example, this is what I mean and not that. And so before he ever gets into his treatise, he spends a considerable amount of time with definitions. And this was necessary to make sure that everyone understands and that we're not stepping off into heresy or a false belief or false understanding. And it seems so contrary to the idea today where we throw out words and we kind of think we know what they mean, but maybe, and so we don't pay any attention until later on it gets us into trouble and we say, well, that's not what I thought it meant. And if you've ever tried to teach and you ask children, do you have any questions? Do you understand everything? They will invariably say yes, because in some kind of vague manner, general manner, they do. But if you start asking them specific questions, you find out they don't understand. Well, why didn't you ask any questions? Well, I didn't know exactly what you meant by that word, and I understood this or that, and obviously I was wrong. I didn't know what questions to ask. And so we're really at a dilemma unless the teacher takes the effort to really take the student by the hand step by step. This is what we understand. Here are the questions you should be asking. Yes, this is a good question, but this is the question you really need to know the answer to. I've been in positions where you can criticize, well, if you don't understand, why don't you ask? Well, they don't know that they don't understand. They've got a superficial overview, but not an understanding just yet. And of course, that understanding comes with practice and trial. I point out to children, I says, you know how to drive a car. I don't have my license yet. I said, that's not the point. You know how to drive a car. You've seen many people do it. It's really easy. You know how to get in the car and put on the seatbelt, turn the key and start the ignition. You know the gas pedal and the brake pedal. You know how to put it in gear. You know how to steer. You know all these things. That doesn't mean we're going to give you a license yet, does it? You may not be able to barely see over the wheel yet. We don't trust your judgments just yet. But very many little children know the basic concepts of how to operate a vehicle. They may not have any appreciation for the speed and the power that is in the hands of the driver, or the care and that they need to exercise as they're moving down the highway, but they do know how to drive a car. And it's the same, I think, in most of our studies, but I think even more so in our religious studies, our religious understanding. Many people know that Jesus is God. He is the Son of God. But the Protestant mentality is going to say that Mary is not the mother of God because she only gave birth to his human nature. She gave birth to the one person, Jesus Christ, who is true God and true man. So she did give birth to the Son of God, and therefore she is the Mother of God. And so these words are essential, they have great meaning, and we need to really try to be careful with our use of these terms. Any questions? Then I guess we will end with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendet super vos et maniat semper. Amen. Okay.